is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. We were a little late starting this morning, but it had nothing to do with the segment before us. I promise you I'm a Hannah Hasty Tynes, and we are not allowed by law to drink before the sun goes down. So that's not the reason why we're starting a little later today, but what a wonderful segment at the end of Morning Blend just now. Welcome to On the Clock on this Wednesday, the 21st of September, 2022. Only on special occasions do I play songs not originating from the Bahamas, but I think that song was worth it. I want to have a What's in the News Wednesday coupled with a It's Time to Grade the PLP government 1 year in office. If you look at today's National Review in the Nassau Guardian, the headline, the caption is 1 year on. So we're going to do a bit of that today and talk about what's in the news. But I've got a ticket giveaway. I'm giving away one ticket to the first annual Frederick Sturup Boxing Championship today. And then I'm going to give away another ticket on Friday. And so it's got to be a call-in. Well, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do text or call-in. Text, the first person to text or call-in to give me the answer to this question. In what year did Elijah Obed, Bahamas' first world boxing champion, in what year did Elijah Obed first win the World Boxing Council's light middleweight title? In what year did Elijah Obed win the World Boxing Council's light middleweight title? And that is to win a ticket to the first annual Frederick Sturup Boxing Championship. And that's going to be this Saturday. This Saturday, the 24th, at the National Boxing Stadium. It's with a special exhibition match with retired champion boxer to be announced at a later date. Doors open at 7 p.m. until late. This looks like it's going to be great. Okay, producer, let's go to that call on the line. I've got a call and a text, but the call came in first. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yeah, that question is 1975.
Ah, boy, you are a winner. You are
a
winner.
Yes, ma'am. Aaron Green, I wasn't going to miss that.
Oh, awesome. So listen, here's what you're going to do. You're going to leave your name and number with the producer.
I could hold on for the producer.
Right. Hold on for the producer. You're going to give them your name and number, and then you're going to collect the ticket from the
thank you, ma'am.
Guardian.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Boy, look here. We got some boxing fans in the Bahamas, and we should do. We should do, right? The history of boxing and the Bahamas is rich and complex, wonderfully complex, like tapestry. To my texter, the first texter, you were correct, but you were not the first person to respond. And to the second texter, you are incorrect. The year is not 1970, but it was 1975 that Elijah Obed, the Bahamas' first world boxing champion, won the World Boxing Council's light middleweight title. On Friday, we are going to do this again. I've got another ticket to give away on Friday. So read up on your Bahamian boxing history and culture. Read up. And if you have a trivia question that you think I should ask, then you contact me. You could contact me at 428-0719. You could text on the show's text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Remember, you can call me at 428-0719 or text 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Remember, the numbers to call the show today are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Okay, I got a text here. Aaron, please, I am begging the Commissioner of Police to deal with these lawless drivers, and I'm begging the Minister of Works to remove some of these roundabouts and replace them with traffic lights, please. Dear texter, we're going to get to that in a moment. Absolutely, we're going to get to that in a moment. Producer, I see we got another call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
Let me speed it up. I wanted to call in.
Uh-huh.
We'll get the ticket.
Uh-huh.
Elijah will be a 175.
Yeah. Yes, you
got that?
You got the correct answer, but we already got a caller. Give the correct answer and win the ticket.
I was trying to speed up winning for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could get it to some point.
I got you. Thank you.
Okay, someone already win it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dang good. But well, first of all, let's do some house cleaning. I want to congratulate the new chairman of BTC.
Okay, yeah.
I hope you get caught trying to get it because I filed a complaint for one of my lines and they said, yeah.
Ah, boy.
And I see God in very often some problems. I shortly filed a complaint. So I hope the new chairman can clean that up.
Yes, indeed. He has a lot of work ahead of him.
Also, give me some more European channel on Slow TV.
Okay.
So that's a woman or a man?
It's a man.
Okay. Congratulations to him and all the on the pumpkin eater. So listen, you're talking about PLP.
One year in. So this is what I'm asking people.
Uh-huh.
Using the government's grading, public school grading system from A to G, including the grade U that indicates a failure, I'm asking audience...
What A is?
A?
Like what I did, what I grew up on, accident?
Here's what is in the guide, the Ministry of Education's National Examination Grading System Guide. A, knowledge, specific, appropriate, and comprehensive.
Right.
Evidence of exceptional comprehension skills and outstanding high-order skills, problem-solving and critical thinking skills. That's what an A is. Mm-hmm. And so
You got B out.
Pardon?
We ain't grew up A, B, and C.
Yeah, that's all we grew up with. And then and I always thought D was a failure. But it turns out that like C could be a failure.
Yeah.
In the private school system.
But what B is?
B is knowledge, specific, appropriate, and comprehensive.
Don't forget now, under Kyle's Better Ministry of Education, they've introduced a thing called E and U.
Yeah, yeah. EFG and U.
You remember that? So.
Yeah, but listen, we grade in the old public education system. I would grade the current.
I like the old one better.
I got you.
I would give them, you're not going to get A minus, right? Or A plus. That's A.
I mean, so you could give them whatever you want.
I give them an A.
You give them an A?
I would give them an A because, right though, I give them an A. Fast delivery.
Fast delivery?
That's right. When they get into office, they didn't stop They didn't stop what they were doing before. They get in. When they get in, they move fast with the infrastructure. The prime minister move fast as representing us globally or underway. I saw him on television. Saw him on the internet this morning with Time magazine talking about climate change. It is very important. We lead the way. That's our little Linden lead the way. Nelson Mandela, the prime minister, leading the way for the Caribbean because we need that money. We are half in South Nation. Thank God save us from another hurricane down in the Southern Bahamas.
Yes, blessings. But blessings.
The prime minister is timely. Because why is he going through a storm? He's saying that, look here, your big companies, countries, are the one who caused this hurricane by polluting. So y'all gotta give us some money. Because y'all want to cost not to be floating all the time.
I got you.
I give him an A for that.
Okay.
And I give him an A for the full transformation of the economy, like what's coming to Grand Bahama with the cruise ship.
But listen,
port.
Stick a pin.
Uh-huh.
So the Prime Minister is on this global tour engaging climate change talks, specifically climate change financing, right? And the carbon credit system.
Yeah, you didn't see it?
I got you. Listen.
But I could have said that to you. You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it. But listen, at the same time, you talking about the economic expansion or progression, positive progression in Grand Bahama tied to the cruise ship industry. But cruise ships are one of the biggest polluters. They're one of the biggest contributors to pollution and to the sort of pollution that impacts the Bahamas detrimentally. So how are we going to balance that?
And I understand.
If the cruise ships are responsible for the pollutants, won't the country where the cruise ship is registered be responsible for the compensation for said pollution? And doesn't that mean, wouldn't that suggest, because I'm not certain about the details, but wouldn't that suggest that the Bahamas is going to have to pay? Like, we can be responsible because the ships are registered in the Bahamas?
All right, let me clear that up. I watched a documentary recently. The crews are getting into recycle. The last crew was done by ZNF. They recycled their water. They recycled their
I got you, but it's not just recycled water. But listen, I got to go. I got another call on the line.
I just want to say, when they dump their stuff, they dump it. You know, they don't dump it in our water. But Aaron, I hope that close with this. I pleased so far with the home repair, home instruction, Abaco, and Providence and in Grand Bahama, with that fast movement. I appreciate what my prime minister is doing globally and locally. I'm your bunking it up. Good day.
Thank you. So
All right. We
got a caller who says that he's going to give the government an A-. Housing, they're pleased with. The Prime Minister's foreign policy engagement, you're pleased with. I can be honest with you. I just want to be polite. They ain't getting no A. I just want to be polite. That's an astounding grade that you gave them. Okay, caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning to what?
Good morning. How you do?
I'm giving thanks. But, Ms. Green, I give this government, right, a F. For housing, because we got 21% from 2016, we had 21% of Bahamian households could not afford a government house, the cheapest mortgage corporation house.
Yeah.
And for a long time since the Lyndon-Clinton government, there was the last government housing for poor people there.
Now
a long
you said
time,
only
right?
only 21%. Now, what's the sample? Where was the sample taken from?
That's talking about in the Bahamas. That's the IDB study in the Bahamas. 21% of Bahamian households cannot afford a government house.
I got you.
You understand me? Mortgage corporation
now,
house.
People are going to say that 79% is an awesome number that can afford it.
No, but that's, in other words, they are the poor people.
The 21%.
Right. They're the poor people. And you know those households, them poor people households, got many people.
I
right?
get you.
Right.
Yeah.
And then this thing about climate change and thing, you hit the nail right on the head. But nobody wants to discuss the effects of capitalism on climate change. That, you know, nobody wants to discuss that. And I feel that the prime minister, he just became a member of the Greta Thunberg choir. You understand me?
Yeah. I got you.
Hello?
I got you.
So he's only singing to the choir.
I got you.
He isn't saying anything that... Hello?
I got you.
He isn't saying anything new to nobody. Everything
right.
he's saying, he just, you know what I'm saying, he just...
Thank you. Thank you very much. One more caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Listen, I'm sorry, but I cannot agree with the first caller with the...
Okay.
But because the like you said, with this cruise ship doing all this dumping, did they continue, or did they find that cruise ship that did the dumping when they came into power? Did they finish with that yet? Yeah. Or are still up and
not sure. I
okay. So if they're registered here and they're some of the largest contributors, how is it that they're talking all of this climate change to other persons and wanting them to pay? What are we gonna pay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand? You can't say what to do when you ask a person who are either with those persons who are not one side or the other, or ask for things the other side, say people from the coalition or people from the FNL, somebody else
you.
Is going to give a honest view. You're not to lie, but give an honest view.
I got you.
You understand me?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm from the other side.
Uh-huh.
So to me, I would give them a D, because at the end of the day, I'm hearing a lot of things that I am waiting patiently to see happen. I don't like word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I like action.
I got you.
And all that's right. what I've been seeing. So for me, they get a D across the board. And if something don't happen soon, especially with that Lucaya thing I thought was done with, I'm sorry. There's a lot of talk, but there's no action. So I can't be giving you something that you don't deserve.
I get you. Thank you.
Not yet.
All right. So here's another question before you go, caller. You still there? Okay, you gone. I'm sorry I missed you. Well, that's very interesting. I don't know if somebody from the other side is going to necessarily give us an unbiased perspective, right? I think an A is... outrageous. I'll be honest with you. I think an A is outrageous. And I think we're past the point of, oh, they've only been going for a year. You got to give them a break, you know? And we know that they cannot rely on the, well, you know, we're dealing with COVID and you know, the pandemic and Dorian. They can't rely on those as excuses either. But I can tell you how I'm grading before y'all suggested my grading is too harsh, right? When I was in grade 10, I got an A for, in math, I got an A for achievement and a C for effort. Grade 10 final exam. I was showing it to my uncle. My father had passed at the time. I was showing it to my uncle, and I thought I was going to get a, hey, high five, I'm going to take you out for lunch or something. And my uncle looked at me with slight disappointment on his face, and I tried to figure out what happened because I got an A for achievement. Well, he looked at me, and he said, you know, if you had gotten an A for effort, then you may have gotten an A++ for achievement, and then we have something to smile about, you know? And so that's sort of how I am grading. Maybe it looks like they did an okay job, but if they had actually tried, I bet you they could have done a much better job. I got a text ahead that says, Brave cured COVID, so that's an A+ in my book. Okay, first of all, let's get into the science. It's Joe Biden that declared that the pandemic was over. Joe Biden who cured COVID, not Brave. He's Brave. The prime minister still wants us to wear masks. Yes. So thank you for that texter. Producer, I see we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine, man.
Good.
I know you're speaking about the environment. The prime minister mentioned about that at, I think, the New York meeting that he had, the conference.
Yes.
But I beg to differ with some commentators last night that they were saying that he was actually going out there begging for funds for the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I beg to differ because those big countries that are polluting this world and causing catastrophic hurricanes to damage these smaller countries because of their lack of environmental control with emissions, I think they should pay. Not only that, the Bahamas has its own environment which cleans up the environment because of the inhabitants and whatever. So I don't believe the prime minister is going around begging. I think these people should pay. They should pay because the more pollution, it costs more weather patterns and it actually costs more money. Billions and billions of dollars of damages, damage from these hurricanes. So I can't say that. I don't believe that the prime minister is begging. That's a valid point. These people are damaging this environment, and the Bahamas have to somewhat try and clean it up. In the meantime, we are also being damaged, and we have to spend a lot of money, okay, to recover the damages from these hurricanes.
I feel you.
The prime minister is not begging anybody.
People
should pay, my dear.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't pay. I liken it to the reparations discussion, right? Let's call it climate reparations.
Right. That's a good word.
Right. I don't say that he's out there begging for money. He should be demanding global structural reform.
Right.
My position is slightly different. I wouldn't say that he is there begging for money, but I do think that the approach is incorrect, right?
Okay.
And
okay.
Ineffective. I think that they need to demand a shift in how these people are doing business. It's like my mummy, right? It's like I have a small, maybe I have a small job and I get a little stipend. And my mummy is sometimes take from the stipend, right? And the penalty for her taking from the stipend is if she take a dollar, she could put $2 back, right?
Right.
But then I still have to rely on my mummy to enforce the rule.
Yeah.
And the person who could take the dollar when they shouldn't take it anyway is not likely to pay you the $2 they say they can pay you for the dollar. So I agree with you. He's not begging, but I also think that we should, in the same way that we should change our perspective on how we look at reparations, right? We should go out there and demand that, hey, y'all stop polluting. Don't tell me, well, listen, I can pollute, you know. It's like the husband who said, I can cheat, you know, but I can bring you something nice every time I cheat. No, stop polluting, and then let's move forward from there.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make that clear, man. We've really been taken advantage of for too long. Even with the airspace thing, thank God we're going to be getting monies from that. You know, we got to start looking. And these are natural resources in many parts and ways, you know, styles.
Yes.
You know.
And we have to build. And so a part of this idea of extracting value from natural resources is also about building the local capacity to own the industries and operations required to extract and realize the value. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Producer, I see we got... Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, this is Zach and Weiss along with you. Pretty eyes, Aaron Green.
You must have seen me coming, Brayman, because I almost have my second... Somebody give me my second trivia question, but you're about to give it away.
No, I haven't heard the question. I was moving up and down.
That's good. Then don't say nothing. I ain't gonna say nothing. How you doing?
I'm holding. Thank God. Can be better.
So how you grade the PLP on their first 100 day, year?
You know my main reason for calling? My main, I got to consider that, but you know, I ain't giving them no A. I ain't giving them any A or any B or any C.
Yeah.
Okay? Look here. What I was going to say, right? The reason is we talked about the Prime Minister going and speaking to those conventions and stuff like that, pertaining to polluting, right?
Yeah.
Now, he got to start being pacific. When he started being pacific and we're hearing it, then I would say he doing something. The thing is, the ships all this technology we have nowadays, he should speak on the ship's a smoke pipe would pollute the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing to that, those ships would amp in sewage in our water. The third point is, right, promote more better cars, no more selling old cars to the Bahamian people with our only smoke pipes.
I got
They'll
you.
Be polluting the area also.
Thank you.
I want to hear him speaking, man. I, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you.
That's a great point, right?
Right.
The Prime Minister and the administrations, right? Because the Prime Minister could get up on stage anywhere and say anything. But if he cannot cause the actors in the ministries to realize the promises and the goals that they have put on the table, then it don't mean anything. And so one of the things I think we need to focus on in this conversation, specifically, is return on investment. Have we seen a return on the investments made in the first year? Has anybody given us a layout, right? Has anybody said to us, look here, we have increased the travel budget. We invest. This is what we intend or expect to realize, both policy-wise, economically, right? And partnership-wise with jurisdictions, trade-wise with businesses in various jurisdictions. What is the return on investment that we can expect from all of this spending? And, you know, on the show with Lester Cox Connected, we had a discussion about a British man who created a new space, a new field of operation called deliverology, right? And really all it is the ability to realize the promises and the goals that you put on the table. That's all. Deliverology is the ability to realize these things. And that's what the government has to focus on. What the PLP has shown us in the first year is that you could pull all manner of fancy ideas together in a fancy package, and you could put everybody's name on it and seal of approval. But all that is a big bundle of potential energy, unless you can actually deliver on it. And I'm not sure if what we've seen in the first year is delivering on it, or if it is a part of the process of delivering on it, or if the Bahamas, I don't know, if we need to open the King Institute of Hopes and Dreams in the Bahamas. Housing is one of those issues. I was not able to pull the specific statements from the Minister of Housing talking about the number of houses that were constructed in the 1 year period. I just want to say, though, that it means nothing. It means nothing. See, the stat, the 21% stat that the caller gave from 2016, right, from the IDB, that 21% of households could not access, could not qualify, fit the criteria to access government housing. That's also, you have to also realize that the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, that whole vehicle was set up to accommodate people who could not qualify in the traditional banking platform, right, space. So that means that 21% of all households, we have to now juxtapose that to the traditional banking mortgage numbers and how many people could not qualify at that level. Because 21% seems like nothing. I mean, like, it seems like an acceptable number. Okay, 21% of people can qualify for a mortgage, but we don't expect everybody to qualify for a mortgage. But that's in a mechanism that was created to accommodate people who we knew wouldn't qualify in traditional banking system. And then we get to housing. They can't get a good grade. I mean, and then I want to make fun, you know. I want to say the government tells us all the time that D is just the average. I need you all to know that you're all below average. This public domain survey where y'all got 64%, We all got a 64% positive approval rating. That's a very, very small sample size. But yeah, you guys are going to get below a D on this housing matter. First of all, nobody cares about mortgages right now. We don't care. We have a bank and we have Bahamas Mortgage. What we need are housing strategies for people who are marginalized, who can't get to the bank. We need temporary housing strategies for young people transitioning out of the home, for young people transitioning from the family islands, for people generally transitioning from the family islands to New Providence. And don't think that you don't need these same models on the family islands. For people who, due to hardship in New Providence, a loss of job or, you know, economic instability, have to go back to their island of birth or their community home, right? Like, there also needs to be temporary housing facilities there. We are well into the hurricane season. We are just thanking God for minimal damage. Hurricane Fiona still passing the Bahama Islands. I have not heard the government announce the building of a new shelter, like the completion of the building of a new shelter yet. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the ministries responsible pay for a segment in the paper to ensure that we all know where the new shelters, where the shelters are, where the new designated shelters are, with the increase in flooding that the government has mapped out. Routes for communities to go to the shelters, right, like the nearest shelters, to help people avoid flood zone areas. Then we get to Grand Bahama. We still don't have a mid to long term Dorian specific housing strategy yet. You knock down domes that could have been rehabilitated. And if you can tell me, okay, so we didn't knock down all the domes, and the domes that we knocked down were inundated with mold and mildew, and it didn't make sense to attempt to refurbish them. How did you let them get in that condition in the first place? Given that we live in a hurricane zone and we are constantly in need of temporary housing options. I can tell you all the lists. The list goes on and on and on. We haven't even talked about emergency housing strategies for people with mental health issues, psychological health issues, right? Emergency housing and shelter options for people experiencing domestic violence and intimate partner violence. For young adults living at home experiencing violence. We haven't talked about any of these things yet. Let me get to the text. Aaron, you can't be serious about wanting hurricane shelters when we don't have a men's shelter over here and three women's shelters. You can't be serious. I mean, Texter, I don't know what you're talking about. I just talked about emergency shelters. I just talked about it, but thank you for texting. Maybe you were texting and you didn't hear me say it. I was talking about it when you said, when you were texting. Yes, text, I do know who Elijah Obed's brother is. Aaron, what is going on with the water out west? There was hundreds of dead fish floating in the water past Sandy Port. Then a tourist died mysteriously on a beach west. Okay. So what I read about the fish floating at Sandy Port was that there was an accident of some sort and a fisherman lost his catch, right? Like a large vessel may have overturned, or a small vessel at the end of a trip may have overturned, and that's why those fish were spotted in the waters by Sandy Port. But I feel you, with a lack of clear information, it's difficult for the average person to pull together what's happening around them. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. I think the Prime Minister is doing a terrible job at protecting our borders and letting thousands of illegal immigrants come and take land and coal mine on the crown land, killing our resources. He's contradicting because that goes against global warming and kicking hurricane survivors out of their domes. Okay, first of all, the Prime Minister isn't letting thousands of illegal immigrants come and take land. See, coal mine on the crown land, right? I don't think that's what's happening. Same thing we were talking about, pollutants in the water and the dumping of sewage in the water. You know what technology is available to our partners to the north? You know? The technology is awesome. Like, they have technology where they could see the sewage in the water, you know? It's all about strategies and who's willing to help. This Haitian migration problem, it's such a large problem that the Bahamas alone can't solve it. So you can't expect one person to solve it, one community to solve it, one island to solve it, or one country to solve it. This requires a top-down solution, meaning a down-up, a ground-up solution in the middle. Anyway, you hear that music? It's time to go to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a bit about traffic. One of the first texts I had was about traffic. You're On the Clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. Listen, we could go on, you know, we could go on about housing. Like, I could just give them one grade for housing because housing is one of those fundamental issues, right? It's one of those base issues for government, state's obligation to ensure that all citizens and residents have safe, adequate, and affordable housing or access to, at the very least. But it's the crisis is exacerbated by the fact that we are in a tourist-driven country, right? Like, that is our main source of income. And regularly, it appears as if the state prioritizes its energy and resources on ensuring that foreigners can have housing in the Bahamas, to the point where we are subsidizing travel at some points and subsidizing beds at some point for foreigners for foreigners, but seem to want to ignore the obvious housing crisis in the Bahamas as a whole and in New Providence as well, specifically, right? Yesterday, day before yesterday, driving home, it appears as if a gentleman has taken up residence on the temporary residence, like he has mobile housing, he could sleep where he want, on the East-West Highway as you approach the East Street roundabout on the westbound lane, right? Westbound lanes. We have a significant housing crisis. We haven't talked about non-sober living housing facilities, because if you're going to insist that somebody with a drug addiction has to be sober to get access to housing, they're never going to get access to housing. And access to housing is fundamental in the journey to sobriety. Right? We're not even talking about that yet. And yes, Texter, I talk about it constantly. The need for shelters. The need for shelters for men. The need for shelters for boys. The need for shelters for mothers and boys. Because at a particular age, I think it may even be 11 or 12, right? Mothers with boys have a problem. I don't think you were speaking directly to the issue. We need safe houses for men like we have safe houses for women, men only. Texter, there's nobody in the country that speaks specifically to the issue like I do. I think you just can't hear me saying it. I think you just can't hear me saying it. And that's cool. You know, I ain't got a problem with that. I do not have a problem with that. Now, here's the text I got at the top of the show. Aaron, please, I'm begging the Commissioner of Police to deal with these lawless drivers, and I'm begging the Minister of Works to remove some of these roundabouts and replace them with traffic lights, please. I don't think traffic lights are going to work. I mean, but because traffic lights depend on police enforcement. Eh? What roundabouts do is roundabouts force the traffic to slow down. Right? It forces the traffic to slow down. Red lights only work if police are willing to enforce it. And I'm not saying that I've been to a police staff association negotiation meeting, but I'm almost certain that the police are on strike and their first order of business is refusing to enforce traffic controls. In fact, I think they've taken it a step further and decided that they're going to commit traffic offenses now. The obvious explanation being that the training in the police force has degraded to the level where we have stopped training police officers in what the rules are. Do you know how many police officers don't stop before they turn left on red? Do you know how many police officers roll through stop signs? Do you know how many police officers eyewitness? Look here, you peep some and you keep some, you know. You peep some and you keep some. Because we live in a post-drug empire era. You peep some and you keep some. But police, when the average driver and children watch you, police officers, ignoring the traffic controls, trust me, it's only lawlessness and chaos to ensue. Now, you would have thought that this would have been important because in August 6, 2021, a tourist was struck and killed by a white van in a tourist zone. You would have thought that somebody would have done something to protect our little bread and butter. You know, the thing that you will continually marginalize the rights of your citizens to protect, that thing, tourism. We thought that killing a tourist would have been the impetus for immediate attention and change. But it hasn't been, has it? And so we have these two unfortunate events. One in Grand Bahama where young Jaden Martin was killed in a traffic accident. And if I'm correct, right, it collided into another car on East Sunrise Highway. And if this is the same story, there is a counselor from East Grand Bahama, last name Adley, that said that a roundabout is needed at the scene of the accident in the report that I was reading. So people are aware that there's an issue. And it's more than an individual driver can handle, can solve or resolve on their own. It's more than the community can resolve on their own, because the council member is petitioning the government to change the traffic controls in that area. Then we have the story reported, hit and run. We just want to say God bless to Miguel Curry, the 11th grader, who protected his little brother Malachi Adley from being struck. Curry was struck, and the driver ran off. Y'all trying to kill people's children. But where are the police? Where are the police? Where's the enforcement? And I see on the top of the Guardian, police frustration at bail release. That's one story. In the story about the gun confiscations, they indicate that police are saturating particular areas. We need you to saturate the roads until we get the driving behavior under control. Texas said, police officers with dark tinted windows. Good morning. Good morning, ma'am. How are you? Our traffic infractions are horrendous. What is the police hierarchy doing? Additionally, they need to retract the right to turn left on red. Also, our young men to continue to ride motorbikes without helmets in front of the police. Yes. Thank you, ma'am. Good morning to you, too. Good to hear from you again. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if the police could put a handle on traffic, right, in those public spaces, they can cause general behavior moderation. It works. It's one of the proven things we could adopt from our oppressive overlords to the north. It works. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me today. We're going to get back into grading the PLP. Just producer, just before I go, quick note, 3 potholes that you have to watch out for. By you, I mean Ministry of Public Works. Bernard Road, 200 yards west of SAC entrance, is a small trench in the westbound lane. I hope that has nothing to do with the accident, the hit and run. Second, Bernard Road between Aquapure and the entrance to Dunottage, there is a massive crater in the road. And Fire Trail West, just west of the Milo Butler roundabout, there's a burnt-out car and a massive pothole on the edge of the road. Producer, thank you to the audience and the callers and the texters. Thank you. On Friday, we're going to be giving away another ticket for the first annual Frederick Stirrup Boxing Championship. That's for this Saturday, the 24th, at the National Boxing Stadium. Tune in on Friday. Tune in tomorrow. Stay tuned the whole day, the whole week, for more boxing trivia. Have a great day, Bahamas, and Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Nurie is up next. Bye.